Today, we are talking about 5 things that you at your shop can do to sustain success. Try to say that 5 times fast. We are talking with Dave Ouellette from Spark Underwriters. They sell garage insurance. Dave has been in the collision industry for a long time and speaks at a lot of the events and conferences. He really is a wealth of information, and he really brought it at the Southeast Collision Conference. Stay tuned to find out what those 5 keys are for you and your shop.
Welcome to Body Bangin', your podcast for all things body. Auto body, that is. And now, introducing Body Bangin's host, Mickey Woods of Mickey Woods Marketing. Mickey is a former Auto Collision Center owner and is now a marketing and business development expert to shops across the globe.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the Body Bangin' Podcast. On today's episode, we have Dave Ouellette from Spark Underwriters, and he actually spoke at the Southeast Collision Conference. Spark Underwriters was also a sponsor for the event, and they even sponsored the estimating skills competition, which I'm sure was super fun. Mike Anderson was a judge of that. So what a cool experience, Dave.
It was a great competition, and everybody gets a lot out of that. It's great.
Yeah, so fun. Well, and we all love to go to conferences and that kind of stuff, but something different like this really mixes it up. So that's cool.
Yeah.
So Dave, you did speak during the event, which I thought was interesting that they had you come and speak, because I don't feel like you would necessarily be the traditional speaker at something like this. But it's neat that you did, because I think the information that you're providing the shops is really valuable. So without taking a ton of time, what are a couple of things that you spoke on during your session?
You know, it's interesting, Mickey, but, you know, actually, as most people that in this industry have seen throughout my career, is that I've been in the automotive industry and the insurance industry. I'm in both, and my entire company is. Within my company, you know, we've got certified technicians, people that are OEM factory trained, and so we're in CIC, and we present there. We're at SICA, presented there. We'll be at SEMA presenting this year. And so a lot of times lately, I've been talking about liability with ADAS and a lot of technical components. But this time here, there was so much discussion about, on the other presentations, about total loss, and there was enough insurance contract and everything else being put up there that was, you know, that I love to talk about and can add a lot of insight and volume on. But I thought that I would take it to a different experience where I've been involved in leadership training, and I was at Zurich, they had me leading a lot of the leadership development within that organization. And we took it to shops. I've been to MSOs and SSOs and associations and buying groups and presented on leadership before. And I thought I would bring it to the Southeast Collision. So it was really talking about the successful or things that allows you to sustain success as a collision repairer. And it led to a very interesting, I mean, you got a 2:15 time slot on a Saturday afternoon. And people showed up, and they not only showed up, nobody left. And it was, and we ended up talking afterwards. So it was
nice.
It was very exciting. Because like I said, I said, occasionally we would pour into something that had to do with contract language or total loss or something of that nature. But really it was talking about, I weave some of those examples into talking about the 5 key characteristics and key actions to take as a leader. But that's what we got into. You know, today, Mickey, I mean, you interview a lot of people, and you're, like I said, with WINS. It's obviously recognizing you for your influence in this industry. You know, the topics we keep coming over and over again, what are important to collision repairs? What are they that you always keep seeing up? Isn't it shortage of tech, staying up with the new technology?
Yeah.
And all that.
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of bad? 100%. Did I leave anything out there?
Yeah. Those are the main ones. Yeah,
those are the ones we think over and over again, right?
Yeah.
And whether they can get the parts to put on the cars, you know, or the shortage of materials. But I will submit to you, and this is what I kind of told them. I said, I could give you 5 or 10 talented techs tomorrow, but would you be able to lead them? would they be in your shop still 3 to 6 months later?
And I said, so I
submit to you the thing that I've seen over my course of time when I've been working with collision repairs, the ones that are successful and really thriving in business 5 years later, it's based on the things that we were going to talk about today, what we went into there and going in order of them. And one of the first ones that got into of that is customer intimate. And during the Thursday night awards banquet, Brian Shaw, who's one of the members of the Carolina Collision Association, I think he's also on the board there as well, he made a presentation about how his whole business and shop is turned around because 2 years ago, he really realized who the customer is.
And
that's one of the challenges I bring in front of people. Who is the customer? Is it the person in the chair that we all like to talk about, the empty chair? Or is it really that person, the person who owns the car? Or is it the bill payer? And if it took a shop owner up until 2 years ago to figure it out, I said, hey, just or even more importantly, it's great that you figured that out 2 years ago, but do your employees know? Do they get who it is? Because we get bombarded all the time about whether a bill payer will pay for this or whether we have a hard time getting this accomplished or whether it's an OEM repair or not, or what's the right part and equipment. But until you lay down the line definitively and get your whole team associated on who the customer is, it's tough to build a business model around serving.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and like you said, even for technicians and painters, for everybody's buy-in to who the customer is, because oftentimes it's like, it's not even about the customer, it's about the master they serve because they need to get that paycheck, you know? So it could be different for everybody.
Yeah. There are people in this industry that run different business models and identify their customer, whether they'll admit to it or not. They run their business model with a different customer in mind.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying. Whatever it is, you have to define your customer because there's a lot of different businesses you can run. But if you really want to be a customer intimate or be known for somebody that values that first, then you have to identify who they are.
Absolutely. So now that was one of the five. You had five there. Not that you need to get into all five, but I am interested to hear if you wouldn't mind sharing.
Yeah, I would tell you probably the one I highlighted the most is the fourth one. And they, like every other group I get into, why did you bring that up as fourth? And it has to do with integrity. And I said, well, the reason that I bring it up fourth on the list is not because it's fourth on the list. It's because it's what tells you which of the first three you determine what is most important. You have to have something that governs how you run your business and how you operate. And so that integrity piece of knowing that that this is how you're going to operate your business and this is how you're going to put that first. If you don't have that, if you just start out thinking of, you know, it's a GPA, you know, is what I was submitting to everybody. You know, all you got to do is have an F, and it takes you forever to get that GPA back up to an acceptable level.
Right.
And I go into get your... The higher that you're up in your organization, you are held to a higher standard of how you operate. And so if you're in the leadership of your organization, you're graded tougher. Your scale, you're graded. Yeah, that's just the way it is. And a lot of times when people move along up within an organization, they lose sight of that. And they think they can always be kind of like they were, but that's not the truth. The higher up you get, the tougher you're graded. So we definitely got into that. And I will tell you to jump back a little bit. One of the earlier ones that we talked a lot on was it's being shareholder intimate. That really is taking care of yourself as the business owner or whoever you has the ownership stake in it. And I think the big key in that is that it was emphasizing our businesses that really understand that a lot of people talk about being different than everyone else, but you have to, if you've identified your customer, and then you really develop a market to where you're not in, there's not 16 others of you. That's the key point is finding, when you're sitting in these sessions with a Kristen, with a Mike Anderson, a Mark Olson, a David Lures and all that type of stuff, and others that are adequately speaking at this event, it's important for you to listen to the insight or other business, if you're in business groups or any of that, and to try to find out if there's a way that you can create a market or a niche where you don't have a lot of competition. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you might, some of the rest of your stuff might be lower margin, but basically, whenever you're running a business, you're creating Y percent of value. There's not a collision repair that doesn't end up delivering a car back. So everybody creates value. Some people are told they don't create value, but you create value.
Right.
The question of the day is how much of that value do you get to keep? And mm-hmm. that is what X percent of that. Mm-hmm. Well, that X percent of that value that you get to keep varies greatly on whether or not you're in a competitive market or you've been able to make a market where there's not a lot of competition for you.
Right.
So your better businesses, in my opinion, figure out a segment that they can compete in to where they don't have as much competition. But anyway, we got into the fun of how people position themselves and will argue that they're in a competitive market or not. And people like to say they're unique. And the example I gave, I stole from Peter Thiel, was it was a somebody that says that they were an English restaurant in Palo Alto, California. So they had this really tight market and they were great in it. The truth of the matter is you could drive 20 miles away and find a restaurant from other cities nearby. And how many people eat English food all day long or and all week? So in other words,
right.
You can define your market to where you think you're really great, but it really isn't a big market to be great in. So,
right.
But we had a lot of fun. That a lot of people like that, where you have a definite advantage in a particular mm-hmm. segment.
Yeah. Hey, would you like to increase the number of cars in your drive? Well, look no further. The Mickey Woods marketing team provides collision center specific marketing. We use proven techniques to not only increase your sales, but put money in your pocket. Visit us at collisioncentermarketing.com, or you can find my personal contact information in the show notes. And let's get your 2022 off to a body banging start. Well, and that would be an interesting conversation to listen in on. I would have loved to have heard that, because oftentimes we're so busy just doing what we're doing, trying to process the vehicles we have and doing the job that we signed up to do, that thinking that requires thinking outside the box and getting somewhat innovative to figure out what does set us apart and where is there a need that's not being addressed. But isn't that part of just innovation in general?
Yeah, yeah. And like you said, we get busy in the business and we just working in the business instead of on it.
Right.
And that's what I said is I don't have a monopoly on knowledge, but I've been very fortunate. I've learned the industry. I happen to grow up where SCRS that association was formed about 5 minutes from my house here in Riverside, Missouri, where I grew up. And I was in Kansas City, just 5 minutes away from it. And a lot of the iCar was built here with your Bill Evelyns and your Wicklands and all that type of stuff. So those are the people that I learned the industry from when they were forming those groups 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And CarStar was found here. So a lot of people and have expanded to, like I said, there's very few states, a handful of states that you can count that I haven't been in a collision repair business in and worked with people there.
Yeah, that's really cool. Well, one thing I wanted to touch on that you talked about earlier that I see happen far too often, and I actually was talking with a client yesterday about this, is we see businesses are dying for good people, and then they get somebody good, and they're gone within a couple of weeks. They're gone within such a short period of time. So, and then all they do is they just keep trying to fill that hole, like, oh, it's the wrong person, it's the wrong person. Well, maybe, but chances are there's some bigger issues that need to be brought to light foundationally in the business to make it so it fosters a good environment. It has the culture and the buy-in from everybody. So all those things you were talking about, I think, play into that foundation of your business that makes it inviting in a culture for people to stay. And especially in a time when it's hard enough to just find a decent person and then you get them and you lose them. It's like heartbreaking, right?
Yeah. No, it certainly is. And no, you're so right. I mean, a lot of times you get promoted within any size of organization because you've been successful at whatever job you were doing before, but that doesn't mean that you're the perfect person to be the leader in that next one.
Right.
And,
right.
And even if you have that innately within you, it's like Walter Bond is one of my favorite business leaders to quote and to learn from. He talks about he didn't want to read books, but he wanted to get good at being a leader, leadership and all that type of stuff. And he was an NBA basketball player. And he thought, well, you know what? Mm-hmm. I didn't get to be an NBA basketball player because I dribbled once or twice or shot a bucket occasionally.
Yeah.
He thought about how many thousands of times he dribbled a ball and shot a ball before he was good enough to get there. And so I tell you, digging in and just going to one place and getting one or two people's insights it really takes a commitment to sustaining that knowledge level so you're able to do that. I mean, the two other things we haven't talked about right now, one gets into being an employee in a minute, the other one gets into development, both personal and professional. So you were right on, except that's such an important thing. It takes up two of the key items. Okay.
Right.
You were absolutely spot on. And so, the real short thing I'd tell you on the employee side right now, until you know three things that are important to your employees, no, not important to you, just because they work at your place, just because you pay them money, doesn't mean that you don't need to know three things that are important to them. You do not have a relationship with those employees until you know at least three things that are important to them. And so don't just assume that they love your business and they love everything about you because they work there. No,
right.
Find at least three things that are important to them. Without that, it's hard to develop a relationship and be able to lead them. So I will tell you one of the things that thank goodness that, well, I say it doesn't matter whether it's business or personal. I guess it could be even worse if it's personal, but some of the different people's status right now is they don't like to talk on the phone. Okay. You can tell me, you can figure out what category I'm talking about there.
Yeah.
I will just say to a daughter-in-law, I sent something where I said, call me, which sounds like something I would have done in my business career a lot.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize until afterwards that was like freaking her out.
Okay? Yeah. She's in trouble.
Because they don't want to hear that. So what I've found out now, I'm always learning, Nikki, whether you know it or not, I'm not as good as I need to be. So I'm always having to get better. And that's that 5 to 10% development I got to get. But what I figured out is I've got to say, I would really like to talk to you, but if it's not okay with you, please text me and let me know. But in other words, you got to understand what's important to them to be able to communicate and move them. That's all I'm getting at is, as a shop owner, you're going fast, you're trying to get cars through, you're trying to do it right, you're trying to make sure people are trained. By gosh, you're paying for their health insurance. But the truth of the matter, until you figure out three things are important to them, I don't think you can effectively have a relationship and develop.
I love that. Yeah. Well, and like kind of going back to what we're saying, we get so busy doing what we're doing that all that stuff's like, oh yeah, that sounds nice. And it just kind of gets put off as it's fluff, but it's so important. Those types of things are so important. And really what is the it's kind of the glue that keeps the business together. Without our people, who are we as a business?
Yeah. And the great thing about it, Nikki, is there's examples. Like anywhere in the world, there's examples within our industry of people that have this nailed and do it great. And there's ones that are struggling at it. And so there's always the hope and there's always people doing it right. And even when you're doing it right, though, better get 5 to 10% better every year or it's going to be passing you by. So that's what I love about the association coming together, listening to people like you who put on content for them to consistently challenge themselves, whether they're up to speed on stuff. Mm-hmm. That's what we all need, because we all have to focus all the time on our best part of ourselves and putting it forward.
Yeah, I agree. I'm with you 100%. And honestly, that's why I created this podcast, is because I feel that in my heart. Personally, it was kind of, it's a project from the heart to do this because I know there's so many out there that feel the same way. Sometimes it's hard though to access information. So hopefully podcasts like this or others out there can help people learn and stay in touch and stay in tune and honestly challenge, help us to think outside of our own thought process is so powerful. And whatever helps you do that, God bless it, I think.
Right. No, absolutely. I would tell you, I'm not trying to be a promotion, but those that know me, because I've been in this industry since I launched the automotive aftermarket for Universal Underwriters, but my heart is in this industry, and I wouldn't be where I am today without it. I love this. I feel so. My dad, our dining room table was the accounting, where all the accounting stuff was done, because we were in typesetting printing with heavy metal. So I was from a small family business. So I relate to so many of the generational families that helped drive this. And the thing I love about it is the consolidators and everyone else that's come in and bought this up, they still are doing their darndest to try to realize that this industry was built by the family run businesses. And I love that aspect. I love that.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you coming on and talking with me, David. We're just having a short little chat today. I feel like we could probably talk for a long time because there's so many things.
That's been a known problem with me before.
Me too, so, my friend. Me too. Well, I'm going to put David's information below. I know that Spark Underwriters provides so many different things for shops. So we'll put some of that down in the description below as well. If you're interested in getting hold of David, I recommend you reach out. Obviously, he's a wonderful guy with a heart to help. And so I appreciate you, David, for everything that you're doing, for being in the industry, for the talk you did, and participating in conferences like this, where you've got people that are really wanting to grow and being vulnerable, going to a conference and opening up when you're attending, even when you're presenting, it's a vulnerable space. So I applaud all those who attended, and I applaud you for presenting and talking about these things.
Well, thank you. And once again, appreciate the opportunity today to speak to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you everybody for listening to today's episode of Body Bangin', and I expect to see you next time. Bye.
If you enjoyed today's show, make sure you hit the subscribe button. We have some incredible topics and guests coming your way you will not want to miss. If you are watching on YouTube and don't want to miss the latest and greatest, you'll want to hit the bell after subscribing, so you will get a pop-up each time a video podcast goes live. To our devoted fans, would you mind paying it forward and sharing this little gem with someone else you think may benefit from it? Much love from all of us here at Body Bangin', all things auto body.